This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, get Craig Wilkinson in here because he's very excited, and I'm very excited too about what we launched just a short while ago. Some people have downloaded the entire series already. It's called Man to Man Talks, and it is on CliffCentral.com. It's brought to you by Carling Black Label. They're smart enough to have got involved in a series about something which is a major social issue in South Africa. We've had Craig in here a couple of times before. It's always worth talking to him because he's on the ball when it comes to what is going on in conversations that men are and should be having. He's written a number of books, and he has become something of an authority on these things that men do and don't talk about, the things that we do and we should, and the things that we don't but we should be talking about. He and Khalil Osiris have put together an incredible series, which you can go and download immediately from cliffcentral.com. And it's being downloaded like hotcakes, Craig.
Great.
Yeah, people are loving it. Nice to see you.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Gareth.
How are you?
Very good. Very, very good. Yeah, excited.
Last time I saw you, we were talking about yet another one of your books.
Right.
And you have not stopped. You have not lost a single portion of the energy that you've had for this project from the very beginning. And it seems to me that you... one of the guys who's hitting home, because a lot of men are suddenly picking up the conversation that you're dropping and running it in their own little communities. They're creating networks with other guys. It's really having a tremendous impact. You must be very pleased to see that.
Very happy. That's what's so needed, isn't it? I mean, there's such a demonization of men over the last while, and I think there needs
to be a resolution. Some of it's deserved.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we've discussed this in the one episode you invited me to be a part of, but you've had some incredible discussions.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have Khalil here as well, but he's back in the US.
He's back in the US, yeah.
And he comes out here fairly regularly.
He does,
you guys will see him again, and then we'll hopefully get him and you into the studio.
Great.
But tell us about the inspiration behind Man to Man Talks.
Well, it's a long story, but I mean, I'm very passionate about fatherhood, and South Africa's really got a major, major fatherless issue. In fact, the world's got a major father. I mean, UNICEF, we've had this discussion, cited absent fathers as the single biggest social issue in the world. So, you know, and having been a single dad for a while and, you know, raising kids for about 7 years as a single dad, you just begin to realize how critically urgent this thing is. And then with the whole gender-based violence thing, that's the latest one. I bought a copy of that, which is such a big issue in South Africa. Men going wrong. And then looking at this juxtaposition, you know, the fact that true masculinity is such a beautiful gift to the world. It really is, as is true femininity. I mean, the co-creation of masculine and feminine working together to build a great world.
Yin and yang, right?
Yin and yang. But when it goes wrong, it goes horribly wrong. So how do we call out the good in men? And how do we call out the bad? And how do we inspire and motivate and equip men to be exactly what they were designed to be, and cut off the nonsense and unpack these issues? You see, I don't know if you saw the stat recently in the UK, the leading killer of men under 50 in the UK is now suicide.
Really?
Yeah. It's a huge, huge issue.
And that's obviously because there are all these men with all these unresolved issues.
Completely.
Going about their lives in the wrong way.
Baggage from the past, but then the whole issue is big boys don't cry, so we don't talk about it, you know. I mean, guys get together, how are you doing? I'm doing great, you know, slap on the back, you know, watch a bit of sport. I mean, a guy can be surrounded by men watching soccer, watching rugby, whatever, and dying inside. But there's all this jubilation and going, you know, no one's talking about this stuff. So the conversation is crucial.
Well, if you think about it, and I've discussed this with you a couple of times, every single male ancestor of mine, going back as far as I can tell, has been at war for a country, a king, a religion, a thing. I'm the first generation in my family's recorded history to not have to go and fight for some bullshit.
Right.
And I sometimes feel, well, does it make me less of a man?
But Gareth, you know...
And then I think about like this attachment that masculinity has to violence, to aggression, to competition, to battle, to ownership, to territory, to power. And I think maybe I'm actually really relieved that that's not the legacy I have to perpetuate.
But you know, you fight a cause too, you know, the cause of truth. I mean, you're on a quest to find out what... really, it's true.
Really?
Absolutely.
Me? No. I'm a terrible warrior for that.
No, but you, I mean, look, every man, I think, has a desire for a battle to fight. And the point is, it doesn't have to be a physical battle.
Okay.
Talk to me about it. Well, you know, I mean, look at the movies men have made famous. It's, you know, it's... It, they all have kind of three themes, don't they? They have a battle to fight. There's something wrong that we need to rectify. There's a comet plummeting towards the Earth, and we've got to divert it.
Yeah.
There's a Dr. No, Mr. Evil, whatever. You know, there's something innate in a man's psyche that I want to fight against something. And you know, if you're fighting against what's wrong and standing for what's right, using that desire, we wouldn't need a police force in this world. If every man used his strength to fight against what's wrong and stand for what's right, there's also this desire for adventure to live. You know, there's this desire, you know, a common theme in the movies too is the car chase and the mayhem and the craziness. You know, we've got that thing. You know, a bunch of guys around a braai don't talk about relationships, do we? We talk about, you know, how, you know, a bull jumped out of a field and chased you down the road and how funny it is. You know, we talk about adventure and kind of stuff. And that's also beautiful.
And we like adrenaline. We like competition.
We love it, but you know, if we use it well, it's beautiful. Imagine if every man used that desire for adventure to build a better life, to you know, father children that are not just his own, to mentor other children, you know. And finally, the quest for beauty. You know, I mean, you bring a beautiful woman to a room, and guys go gaga because.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a battle, adventure, and beauty. But if you use those things well,
men have been the patrons of the arts for all of history.
Absolutely,
men paid for the Mona Lisa to be painted and for the David to be sculpted out of marble and for the Sistine Chapel to be painted and for every other major work of art to have been constructed, because men have an appreciation for beauty just like women do.
Absolutely.
So we have some more delicate and urbane tastes to us, but where does it all go wrong? Like, this is what you try to address in these talks.
I mean,
where does it all go wrong? Where does it get messed up? Where do men become derailed?
That, you know, I always say to guys, you know, no man is born an abuser or a misogynist, or no man is born that way. You know, something goes wrong in the journey. You know, the whole nature nurture thing. So inherent in the biology of man are these things we're talking about. But he needs an older man to help him find the way,
and like a bull elephant.
I love that story. Yeah, the bull elephant, exactly. You know, and there are questions that a boy asks that a mom cannot answer.
Okay, now before we get into an argument here, because there's going to be a lot of feminists who'll come rushing at you with their nails and teeth bared. If you are a single mother, this is no poor reflection on you. This is not you being inadequate. There are just certain things that a boy can only get from a male role model.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I think the heroines of this nation, I mean, you saw the stats recently, 61% of kids are registered without the father's name. So, I mean, single moms are absolute heroines in our country, and they're doing a phenomenal and sterling job. The thing is, it's not a single mom's fault that she's a single mom, is it, in the first place?
No.
It's not what she chose and desired. So she's making the absolute best with what she's got. But their questions, and this is going back to this beautiful, you called it yin-yang, but the co-creation, the masculine and the feminine. You think about a child is born because of the dance between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can call it that. And the world continues to operate like that. So the questions a young boy asks, I mean, the primary role model of every child is their same gender parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man can model to his daughter beautiful qualities. A woman can model to her son qualities of hard work and compassion, all kinds of beautiful things. But the primary role model in terms of, you know, show me how to be a man, a boy looks to his dad. And if the dad is absent, or the dad is stuck in a bottle or stuck behind a cell phone or in a different city or just there but not there, he's not going to answer those questions. And the question that a boy asks, you know, because we want to fight a battle, we want to win the heart of the beauty, we want to live this adventure, build a great life, the primary question in our heart is, do I have what it takes to do this? And so the father needs to validate his son and say, son, you've got what it takes. You can do this. And then model to him how to use his strength well, how to harness that desire for battle in such a way that it's going to be for good.
I know you address a lot of these things in the podcast series, and I can't tell enough people to listen and download it, particularly in our country. But what are the direct consequences of not having that male role model?
Well, the first one is what we would do as a male is we'd look, where do we look to for the answers? So we'd look to media, we look to our peers, we look to perhaps the dad that's going wrong himself. You know, so the consequences is what's modeled to us is often wrong. You know, in many areas, for instance, you take Cape Town, the Cape Flats, in many areas, gangsters are revered as the role models in the community.
Yeah.
So they look to that, and the young elephant follows that, and that's the example they get. But essentially, a man grows up fairly wounded in the sense that he feels inadequate. He feels as though, I'm asking this question, am I enough? My dad's been absent. He hasn't validated me. He hasn't imparted the sense of masculinity to me. So I do one of two things. I either withdraw into all kinds of addictions. Well, you know, I don't step up to the plate, so I feel inadequate. So I find many different ways to prove, to find solace.
You become the loser you think you are.
Exactly. Yeah. So I believe it, and therefore I don't step up. Therefore, I have a kid, and I don't step up to the plate and be the father. Or I spend my whole life trying to prove that I am the man, and that's very dangerous because what
you act out.
You act out. So you know. I mean, if you look at the stats, it's fascinating. You know, after a Premier League soccer match, domestic violence spikes. Why is that? Because a guy puts his value in the team that he supports. He comes home feeling less of a man. Yep. He feels like he needs to beat up his wife to feel. So men use their strength badly to try and prove that they're a man.
This is something we've spoken about in sports.
We've spoken about this numerous occasions, yeah.
What do you call it? You've got a term for it.
Well, Rich Mulholland, I think, formalized this phrase initially by saying you're outsourcing your masculinity.
Right. That's vicariously. Yeah. You're living through your team.
Yep.
And a lot of guys do that because they're feeling inadequate.
Very much so. Right? It becomes a group identity.
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy at all.
It's not healthy. While supporting a sports team is fine and
absolutely
very healthy.
Yeah,
and
beautiful.
Probably, you know, it's like supporting your team in battle. And that's kind of where it comes from, right?
Yeah,
you rally behind your comrades. Yeah. This is not a healthy thing if you're a broken man and that's all you've got.
Well, if your identity is in it and your validity is in it, that's the problem. You know, I mean, you can feel fantastic when your team wins, but if it devastates you when they lose, then perhaps it's gone a bit too far because you're identifying your masculinity in them and your value in them.
What kinds of relationships do men who didn't have a good male role model have?
It's a great question. Look, there's a thing called alexithymia. I don't know if it's a strange word, but it really means emotional illiteracy. It means a man who's completely out of touch with feelings, incapable of empathy, understanding his own feelings. So often a man who's been brought up in that sense is emotionally unavailable and emotionally often illiterate. So he's just he's incapable of engaging in a deep, intimate relationship with a woman.
Alexithymia.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a good word.
The personality construct characterized by the subclinical inability to identify and describe emotions in the self.
Right.
The core characteristics are marked dysfunction in emotional awareness, social attachment, and interpersonal relating. I know lots of people who suffer from this. No, I'm going to laugh at them quietly, but I wouldn't laugh to their
faces.
It's
a tragedy. That's a tragedy.
They're
sad.
A disaster.
It's sad, and you know, and it's a consequence of their upbringing, because we're taught big boys don't cry. You know, and if you as a boy bring your heart to your father for validation, he's not there. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to tuck your heart away in a very sort of secret place, and be incapable of bringing it out when you need to.
Sure. All right, so what kinds of, doesn't this put women off to be around men like this?
Of course it does.
Men that are needy and pathetic?
Well, it's not just needy and pathetic because they might be very aggressive and closed off. The point is they can't, they'll run a mile when an emotional conversation comes up. I mean, other ways it plays out is men can have an absolute need to dominate, never be wrong. Can't say I'm sorry. I can't apologize. I've got to be right. I've got to control the relationship. I've got to control the purse strings. You know, so there's this need to control, and that's just an inadequacy. I mean, the one thing that men desire from women more than sex, interestingly enough, is respect. Men want respect.
Because when you hear rappers dissing each other or complaining that they didn't get enough respect, this is this is our primal animal.
It's a big primal thing, and it's a beautiful thing. You see, a lot of men don't deserve respect. That's the thing. So, but a woman needs to understand that, you know, you disrespect a man, even if he doesn't. It's a dangerous territory. You know, it's just an understanding of a man. So, men demand respect. You know, men that are deeply wounded, if they don't get it, they react either in a violent way, and a lot of men just withdraw into all kinds of addictions. You know, pornography is a major, major addiction across the world now. Why? Men are just withdrawing into that because it's not a real world. It's a world where I feel better and I feel like a man. I can click on a button and this woman does whatever I want her to do. You know, it makes me feel good. The dopamine hit, etc., etc. Alcohol is another thing. Workaholism is another thing. You know, so men withdraw into all these addictions. They have
alexithymia. You said workaholics are. Is that another kind of addiction?
It is. Of course it is. Yeah, absolutely. It's an addiction.
We're led to believe a workaholic is a positive thing.
Well, a lot of addictions are socially accepted and socially mandated virtually. You know, workaholism in our society
and
is one of those.
Alcoholism in South Africa. Yeah, it's a big thing. Yeah. Men drink. That's what they do together.
And you almost can't go out and have a good evening out without a good couple of drinks. You know, why? Because
it's how guys socialize.
It's how we are. Yeah. And I mean, the need to always have a posture and a pose, Gareth. You've seen that with a bunch of guys. You know, you get a bunch of fathers together on the side of a soccer pitch. I mean, they're all the experts, the coaches. They know, you know, the posturing and is
their kid can do no wrong. Exactly, the coach is always wrong. Yeah. They're the best one to advise everybody.
Yeah.
Me, ego, ego, ego.
It's all about that. And it's a wounded ego. You know, an ego that's not wounded can be a beautiful thing. You know, I heard a great definition of humility. The humility is simply the willingness to be known fully for who you are. So if you're brilliant at something, it's not humble to diss your brilliance in that thing. It's humble to say, you know, I'm really grateful that I'm brilliant at this, and I'm going to be that fully. But if you're not good at something, you're also honest about that. You don't have to be what you're not, but you can be who you are. You know, that's authentic masculinity.
So also admit your failings and weaknesses.
Exactly. Look in the mirror
and be comfortable with them.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know, accept that you can't be everything to everyone.
100%.
Nobody's perfect.
And embrace it and be happy. And you see, that's where teamwork's brilliant. You know, if I'm great at something and you're not so great, you need me. And if you're great at something and I, you know, vice versa, we need each other. And that's the beauty of a team, you know, where you recognize I'm great at something, I'm going to bring that to the party. You know, I need Sia because he can bring this. You know, it creates a beautiful harmony amongst people. But when men have to do it all, it creates this huge conflict situation, doesn't it? Because of egos.
Well, I mean, we've got such a social problem in South Africa with this. And, you know, I always say it in a glib way, and I certainly don't mean to, but the quietest day in South Africa is Father's Day on social media.
Because it's tragic, but it's true.
People are looking inward and they're seeing a big gap in their lives, and that's because these men have let them down.
Yeah, absolutely.
These men have let these kids down. There's this cycle that it perpetuates through generations
of
fathers not being there. Mm. And it goes across the board in South Africa. Very white, black, old, young, rich, poor.
100%.
There are bad fathers in every one of those categories.
Absolutely. Bad, absent, there but not there, or not there at all.
Is fatherhood that hard?
No, it's not. You know, Gareth, the problem is this.
How come so many people can't get it right if it's so hard, if the failure rate's so high?
Well, two reasons. One is we've not often had good fatherhood modeled to us. And number two, we're dealing with our own stuff. You know, inside each of us as men, there's a boy as well, isn't there? And often the boy is wounded. So fatherhood, true fatherhood, is this parallel journey. It's being and becoming a whole man, because we only can give what we've got to give. You know, I mean, if you have prejudice, you're going to impart prejudice to your kids, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And if you've got love and joy and peace, you're going to give that over to them. If you have a deep sense of self-worth, you're going to impart that. You know, so this whole journey, and this is what a lot of books don't talk about. They talk about fathering techniques, but they don't talk about the fact that get your life right, man, first, because out of your life, you're going to father. And even if your techniques are not 100%, if your life's good and growing and honest and authentic, and you know, you're going to give greatness to your kids.
Okay, but the way you've just explained it, it sometimes seems to me that it's a cycle that can't be broken. The bad example of fatherhood comes from your father, who got it from his father. There's just this ugliness that's handed down generation after generation. Is it possible to break that cycle?
It's difficult, but it's absolutely 100% possible. I mean, this is the thing about choice, isn't it? I mean, every single man has the ability to break the cycle. You know, we seek out role models. There are role models in books, even if you don't have them, you know, reading about great men who do great things and share, you know, there are role models on radio. You know, find the role models, find the men, research the stuff, and make a decision to say, you know, I had crap handed to me from my previous generations, and I'm not going to hand that on to my next kid. Most far, this is the tendency. You either overcompensate in your fatherhood or you perpetuate. And the key is,
what's the price of overcompensation?
Because
we know what the price of perpetuation is.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you're overcompensating for. I mean, if you had a very disciplinarian father and you become completely laissez-faire, your kids have no boundaries, you know. If you had the opposite and you become, you know, so it depends on what you're overcompensating to do.
Uh-huh.
But the key is to find that balance where you say, what does my child need? And, you know, this is the challenge, Gareth, and this is why it's so hard, is we're actually refathering ourselves. We've got to refather ourselves through the various you know, peers and books and stuff we have as we father our children, and find that balance. And that's the challenge.
All right, what about this? And I'm loath to say it because it's controversial stuff, but this idea of the feminization of men, that men are now expected to talk about their feelings and things that they're probably genetically not predisposed to do. You know, it's not normal for men to sit around a campfire and sing songs with each other and do what women would do in the old days. Talk about how they feel, discuss relationships, gossip about the other men. That's not really how guys are. We laugh, we punch each other, we joke around. It seems to me that there's this intent by modern society to make men more like women in the hopes that it will take away the ugly parts of men's characters. Do you know what I mean?
Am I articulating it properly? No, you are. I mean, it's a very, very major issue. I think it's both good and bad. I think if you try and... You see, this is what happens with... Naturally, what a mom will do to a son is try and model to him the qualities she thinks a human being should have. And those would be feminine qualities. So compassion and love and care, which are fantastic qualities. And a man needs those. But what a man also needs is the wild... side to fight the battle, to live the adventure. So if you try and make a man into a woman, you're going to destroy a man. But if you try and make a man a whole man, wherein lies the ability to nurture, love, actually have compassionate conversations, it's not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a, you empower a man to be a man, but you equip a man to be emotionally literate, both within himself and interpersonal. That's EQ. I mean, EQ is the ability to know and understand and manage myself, and also know and understand and with empathy manage interpersonal relationships. So they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, one guy did a beautiful thing about the four faces of man, that a man needs to have the face of a king. You know, when he's in his realm and he's, you know, running his business, I mean, he needs to rule over that. The king, but the lover, the warrior. There's a time when a man needs to just put on his game face and fight through crap, whatever.
Sure.
And the friend. And, you know, if you look at the friend and the lover, in that is nurturing and intimacy and vulnerability, etc. But there's also, you don't lose the king, you don't lose the warrior, because if you do that, society falls apart. So we cannot make men into women. Men and women are different. There are biological drivers that make us different. I mean, a lot of the very ardent feminists argue that that the gender thing is just a social construct, which I completely disagree with at all.
No, it's biological.
It's biological.
There's stuff that we inherit genetically and in our biology and in our hormones and in the things that make us men or women that are not socially constructed.
100%
That
right.
We can prove over and over again. I mean, like men doing... You know, engineering, for example. They've got this major drive all over the world to get women to do engineering, and it's not working. It doesn't work.
Well, you know,
there are women engineers, and they're terrific, but they are an exception to the rule. It's just like there are male nurses, but they're an exception to the rule.
Very much so. Well, Scandinavia bears it out. You know, Scandinavia is probably the society that is the most egalitarian in terms of that. I mean, they've tried to remove all social constructs and social barriers. But if you look at exactly those two professions, engineers...
They're more unequal.
So what's actually happened, the social constructionists are actually in many ways been proved wrong, because the more you remove social constructs, the more the natural tendency of men and women coming out. And it's a beautiful thing.
Is there a like the you mentioned the extreme feminists. Are there extreme masculinists?
Oh, they definitely are. Yeah.
Who are they? What do they believe?
Well, they believe, you see, I mean, in this little booklet that I've written about why gender-based violence happens, this is
called No Excuse for Abuse. You've just published this. Are they available?
They are available, yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second.
The first reason why men abuse is they're wounded and damaged. The second reason men abuse is they have a false concept of what it means to be a man. So if you believe that men must be dominant and...
Let's just be clear. Those are the only two reasons men would...
No. There
are others.
Yeah, there are others. Yeah. Okay. So I list four.
All right.
The third one is a misconception about women in the sense that the belief that women are less than. That false belief.
Okay.
And the fourth one is, and of course, is emasculating circumstances.
Yes.
So in South Africa, we have a perfect storm. We have wounded men who weren't fathered, we have false concepts about what it means to be a man, I'm going to be macho and dominant. We have false ideas about women. Women are less than if they're not subservient to me. And then we have emasculating circumstances, unemployment and all kinds of psychological
stuff.
Where
the man feels like he can't provide, so he's a loser.
All that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if you have all of those four, you've got a perfect storm, and therefore South Africa has one of the worst GBV problems in the world.
I often think that that this extreme masculinity... Mm. In terms of like feminist, the opposite to that, the masculinist, is just also a poisonous ideology.
Absolutely,
it's a
poisonous.
Bad idea.
It absolutely is.
That's where you get that very patriarchal, very patronizing.
Very much so.
All the bad pets.
But you know, you think of power. Power is a beautiful thing, but power is often power is always involved in abuse, but power is also always involved in creating society.
And in rectifying injustice.
100%.
Because without power and authority, how do you fix injustice?
Exactly.
Who are you going to listen to? Who's going to implement? Who's going to execute that justice?
You need it. So, I mean, the thing with power is there to love, serve, protect, essentially, isn't it? So political power is there to serve your constituents, you know. Economic power is there to serve the next generation, your family, your loved ones, etc. Physical power is there to serve love, to protect. You know, so if, so true masculinity is using your strength well, essentially. If you had to put it in a nutshell, what do you do with your strength? You've got strength, what do you do with it? You've got a desire to fight a battle, what kind of battle are you going to fight? What do you do with your strength? Do you use it to love, provide, serve, protect? Fantastic, you're getting it right.
I admire what you're doing. Are we making any headway?
Jeez, Gareth, yeah, yes and no. I mean, look, we're living in a very broken society, aren't we? I mean, our history also has broken many men. I mean, you talked about the transgenerational thing. I mean, you can't fix generational pain in one generation. And sometimes it never gets fixed, but you can begin to turn the tide. What I'm seeing now is a lot of men. It's the champion men that are quiet. I mean, I think we've had this conversation too. You know, unfortunately, the fools and the idiots get the biggest airtime and they make the biggest impact. But so many men that are just good men, going to work every day, providing for their families, loving their daughters, are not being publicized, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm seeing more and more of those men beginning to stand up and say, you know what? But you see, that was my complaint about things like the hashtag men are trash. Of course, there's a reason to highlight and bring out where men are screwing up monumentally. But what's more important is to empower and equip good men to become better men and raise our boys who are growing up looking to see what it means to be a man, where are the examples, you know, to show them what it means to be a good man. And if we can really inspire that and begin to get an army and mobilize these good men, I think we can begin to turn the tide. You see, I mean, the problem is men. The solution needs to be men. Women can't fix men. Mm-hmm. And a lot of broken men, you asked me about relationships, a lot of broken men need bring the question that was unanswered by their father to a woman. So if you're able to bed a woman, you feel like a man. But the problem is it can't fix the wound in your heart. So the problem is it's like a drug, you then have to bed another woman and another and another. And so a broken man in a relationship, whether he's abusive or just a player, is constantly looking for affirmation and he's never going to find it in a woman. He needs to find it in and of himself and have that whole thing restored.
Sure. You've done so much work in this. Where can we get the No Excuse for Abuse book?
This was actually sponsored by the No Excuse, which is a Carling
initiative. Carling Black Label. They're the same guys who're sponsoring the podcast.
Absolutely, yeah. So they've sponsored a whole bunch.
How did they get involved, just by the way? Because people would go, oh, well, you know, it's an alcohol. Like, what's their involvement? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Carling's always had this thing about champion men. So they're very strong in the whole alcohol. And this is a very interesting conversation. I mean, Gareth, you and I could get blind drunk. There's no way we're going to beat up a woman. No matter.
There's no way we'll even beat up each other.
No,
I think you'd win if I even challenged
you. But the point is, we wouldn't do it, would we? It's not in us.
No, I think you get people who are they have a personality problem, and all that alcohol or drugs or pretty women or anything else are is they're enabling.
100% right.
Things that you know, I mean, I've had a lot of drinks in my life. I've never been violent, ever. No,
likewise. It's just not in us. So Carling's all about let's create champion men who use their strength well, men who know how to drink but not drink irresponsibly, not overdo it. I mean, a guy who constantly getting drunk, what is he trying to hide from? You know, there's a problem there. There's an issue there.
But if you're having drinks with the boys, it's fun.
It's absolutely.
Sure.
Nothing
that's
wrong
what
with
we
it.
Like
100%,
to do.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's the angle. And it just so happened that their brand – architect was exactly the same as the father of a nation.
That's fantastic. I've got to credit them. I mean, we don't talk too much about the sponsor in a situation like this because they wanted to be involved with the content you're creating. But I've got to say, it takes bravery.
Yeah.
It takes a huge amount of confidence in your brand to back something like this because there are some hard conversations that need to be had.
There are.
And there are loads of people who do all kinds of CSI initiatives because it looks good and the company gets credit for it, but they're not doing anything to really change society. Yeah. This is changing things. People are downloading this podcast series. Go and take a listen to it. It's called Man to Man Talks. It's on cliffcentral.com. And we're going to have Khalil in here one day too with you. You two make a great team. I hope that you find more and more men to rally to this cause because it is, once it gets to a certain critical mass, it's unstoppable, and this is the best way to fix a broken society.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Thank you, Gareth.
Yeah, no, well done. Yeah. I mean, Craig, you really you've done incredible stuff. Craig has also got some other books. We'll put all the info up on cliffcentral.com and you can go and find it anytime you would go and look for podcasts and download that series. You won't be sorry. Very good.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Good to see you. Craig Wilkinson, everybody. This is CliffCentral.com.